Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The athletes are ready to hit the slopes and the rinks in Pyeongchang. You can learn more about how South Dakotans have represented Team USA this Sunday at the Journey Museum and Learning Center. Veteran sports writer Daryl Shoemaker leads the discussion. He's with us now from the Black Hills Bureau in Rapid City. Daryl, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Lori.
So you have a background in sports writing, and now you work for the city of Rapid City, right?
Do communications work for the city and have a background in sports, and everything kind of comes together. So looking forward to this Sunday's presentation.
All right. So the idea for this seems like it came from a pretty straightforward place, but what's your personal background here? You've talked to some athletes from South Dakota who have made the big trip.
Had the opportunity to interview and meet over the years, obviously, Billy Mills, Randy Lewis. We've had Lincoln McIlravey from Philip, Paige McPherson. We have a lot of athletes here from South Dakota. I've had an opportunity to interview some from South Dakota. Also had opportunity over the years. We had Christian Laettner, who was part of the 1992 Dream Team. He was here at an NBA exhibition game. Had a chance to interview him at one point when I was in college down in Vermilion. Jim Ryan, the great miler, Olympic miler, had presented at USD, so I had an opportunity to meet him and talk about his background and his Olympic glory.
All right, when you get ready to interview an athlete, I think they can be hard to interview in some ways because they get interviewed so much. How do you approach an interview with an athlete who clearly has been asked just about every question there is to be asked again and again?
Well, I think it all depends on who they are and where they come from. I mean, you take someone, I think like a Christian Laettner, who had been on the national scene in college, obviously, through the Dream Team experience. He was going into the pros. He had a little bit of an attitude, but that it wasn't, you know, that was, again, part of his notoriety. Someone like Jim Ryan, I think, who had kept everything in perspective, and he obviously went on to career in Congress. He was more soft-spoken. He was more perspective about his Olympic glory. And then when you come home and you talk about, you know, people from South Dakota, they're pretty much genuine. You talk to anybody over my years in sports writing, you talk to anybody from North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, this region, they're always soft-spoken, down-to-earth, keeping that hometown in perspective, and they always want to point back to their roots. They always talk about how they got there, and it's obviously said on the political side, it takes a village to raise a child. Same thing with an athlete. No athlete can get there all on their own, and especially the athletes from South Dakota, they always point to their upbringing, their parents, their family, their friends, the neighbors who help getting them to practice and all of that. So it all helps build that support network that ultimately leads to Olympic glory in many instances.
How does an athlete from South Dakota really get to that at that level? What are we seeing? Are there certain sports or certain towns that tend to have a system down that can feed kids in that direction, or do they just come from really anywhere in the state?
Lori, I think when, you know, doing the research on this, I mean, we've had Olympic athletes going on way back to the early part of the last century, and we have 12 athletes who came from West River. We have 8 athletes who came from East River. Large cities, small cities, you know, Rapid City and Black Hills certainly has produced their fair share. We've had, obviously, you know, Becky Hammond. We've had, you know, Scott Berry, who was a ski jumper back in 1972. Obviously, Randy Lewis and certainly Billy Mills from Pine Ridge. But you start heading east and you get the Shear brothers from Mobridge that were great in wrestling back in the 1988 Olympics, the Kozlowski brothers from Watertown. You know, so it's any community can produce that native son or daughter of greatness. One of the interesting things in doing the research is that it all depends on how you define South Dakotan, because some of our Olympic athletes, maybe they were born in South Dakota, maybe they came here after their Olympic glory. In Rapid City, we had the late Ken Perper, who was a member of the 1956 Olympic hockey team. He came here after his Olympic medal. He went into teaching. He taught 30 years in the Rapid City School District, both in Rapid City Central and Rapid City Stevens, and the smaller grades. He would bring his medal to school to present it, to talk to the kids about the importance of dedication and commitment to yourself and to your sport. So a lot of times we take these athletes, maybe they came here after their Olympic glory. We have one, Anna Seton Huntington. She was a rower in 1988, 1992, won a bronze medal with the rowing team in 1992. She's unable to make it Sunday, but her husband, Stuart, he's going to bring the bronze medal, talk a little about the support and the commitment that Anna brought to her sport. So, it all depends. There's no one true ingredient that takes them on to Olympic success. It really just, it's a lot of luck, they'll tell you. It's a lot of being in the right place at the right time, but it also boils down to that hard and steadfast commitment that they have to excel in the sport that they're in.
How do you become a rower from South Dakota? That's a surprise. I don't know her story.
Sure. Well, in Anna's situation, she actually, and it'll be something that Stuart will talk about on Sunday. Sure. Anna was actually a standout at the University of Kansas. She grew up in Kansas. She's part of the Kansas Hall of Fame. I think her rowing experiences began when she went off to Harvard. And the roots might come from a rural state like South Dakota, or in Anna's case, in rural Kansas, but then they go on to a college where they pick it up and they're able to work the craft. The one interesting thing about Anna, not only did she excel in rowing, but she was also then a member after the 1992 Olympics. She then became a member of the All Women's America's Cup team in sailing.
Oh, wow.
And then that was like in 1995. Yeah. And so, so quite a story there, not only to excel in one sport, but to excel in two. And so she has quite the story to tell.
Do we have anyone at the Olympics, at the Winter Olympics this year that you're aware of?
Don't believe we have anyone this year. We are kind of keeping our eyes out on two West River hopefuls for the 2020 Summer Olympics. Tamara Gorman and Tony Smorgowitz, who excelled in the running sports back here at Rapid City Stevens, they are really climbing the ranks as far as in the triathlon, and they have their sights set on the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. So they excelled here locally, had a lot of support locally. They've carried that on to university success and look forward to seeing if they can't make it to the 2020 Olympics. One other side note too, Lori, is we'll be profiling athletes, but there's one story. Bill Wackerly, who was a longtime member of the city and school buildings and grounds here in Rapid City, I think he now lives in Akaska, South Dakota, but Bill was an Olympic boxing judge, and going all the way back to the 1990s, we're all familiar with Floyd Mayweather and the great success that he had in boxing, and a 50-0 record on the professional boxing side. Floyd actually lost in the Olympic semifinals. Bill was an Olympic judging official back in the Atlanta Olympic Games, and there was so much controversy behind that loss. There were so many issues and the way it was judged that Bill earned not just national but international fame, if you will. He basically said it was so outrageous what happened to the boxer that he basically resigned on the spot. And so again, we have a little bit of notoriety there too. But Bill was a very well-respected boxing judge from South Dakota. Found himself on the world stage there at the Olympics and made news basically because he was true to his sport and true to the specifics of the discipline, to the point where he resigned over some issues that were going on in the ring.
Takes guts, right?
Yeah, sure does. Sure does.
So who's going to be there with you? Obviously, you mentioned you can come and see at least one medal. Do you have other folks who are joining you?
basically, we'll have Stuart Huntington talking about the experiences that he went through in supporting his wife Anna there at the the Olympics in 1998, 1992. We're going to have a slide presentation, kind of profiling these athletes and kind of go through their history, both what their roots or what their ties are to South Dakota, but also how they excelled. We'll profile, especially like with our wrestlers. How they got to the Olympic stage was by being standout performers in high school and in college, and in our subject on Randy Lewis. Everybody knows about Randy Lewis's fame here with the gold medal he won in 1984 in Rapid City. It all goes back to Meadowbrook Elementary School, where he took the support from his father about standing out in the crowd and being the best at Meadowbrook Elementary first, and then being the best at the grade school level. And he had like 80 some straight pins through high school, went on to win multiple national championships in college, and then went on the Olympic stage. And those are symptomatic of some of the stories that we'll profile of all the athletes. Some we don't have a whole lot of information. I mean, we're going all the way back to some of the folks who won gold in the decathlon and the shot put back in the early 1900s, the mid 1900s, and so not a whole lot there, but we'll profile what we have.
And in our last minute here, Daryl, the final details here, South Dakota Olympians, it starts at 2 o'clock on Sunday at the Journey Museum and Learning Center. And Daryl, let's close with just a little message to what you think this talk could really do to, help kids and parents sort of figure out what's next for their athletic dreams. What's the most valuable lesson to take away, do you think?
Lori, I think it's obviously in each of these instances, or most of these instances that we'll profile, you can come from anywhere and make it to the national stage. I mean, some of our athletes, they came from Frankfort and Marion and small communities in South Dakota, and they were able to elevate their skill and their talent to Olympic stardom. So I think the message is that no matter who you are, with dedication, with dedication to your skill and talent, and a little luck and a lot of support from family and friends and the community, you can make it.
Daryl Shoemaker, thank you so much for being here with us. We really appreciate the stories, and we appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Have a good day.